Bad taste, smoke.
Cool.
Bad taste, smoke.
Cool.
Matinee with Bob and Ray. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Excuse me, I didn't know what this was. I'm leaving. Oh. Here it is, time again for another in our never-ending series of public service programs presented by us for our own enjoyment. The Buster.
Any similarity to entertainment surely coincidental.
Could possibly be a feather in our cap.
Well, I suppose a lot of people are getting ready to get their summer places fixed up, don't you?
This is the time of the year when you go out and you open up different cottages and camps. And we thought on this bright and cheerful, what is it, Friday?
Organ player. We're talking about summer camps now. This is Friday.
Yes. Well, I thought that we could name some cottages people today. Get away from those dewdrop inns and...
Well, I think dewdrop inn is a good name for a cottage. Of course, it's better for a hotel or something like that.
Uh-huh. Now, we thought a more realistic, more practical title, such as Happy Mortgage.
Or you can do a lot with the prefix D-U-N, done. Done traveling is a good name.
Done working is another good one.
You make that into one word together with or done fishing.
Yeah, or done roving.
In fact, they made a song about that, done fishing.
Oh, I think you've got that wrong, Tom.
Oh, I forgot that.
That's gone fishing.
But what you should do is to send for the Bob and Ray, How to Name Your Summer Camp book.
Now, we have different books. One is for a cottage by the sea. Another one is for a cottage by a lake. And another one is for a cottage by a river.
Be sure you specify what you want, which book.
You see, we have different names to cover the particular location of your cottage.
Speaking of hung and strung, as you were a moment ago,
you
know that the Originals are celebrating their 27th year in show business this week.
Hum and Strung have been married for 27 years?
I don't know how long they've been married, but they're celebrating their 27th anniversary, and I think we can all salute them.
Hand salute.
One.
Two. That is.
So, in honor of that, maybe we could sing a song today, huh?
Oh, yeah, we'll have to. Gee, 27 years together, and they never had a real serious argument, friend.
This is the first time, of course, we have been in business a lot longer. We've been a team for 43 years.
That's right, but we fight all the time.
On
the
radio.
Fact, we're the feature about it at Madison Square Garden next Tuesday night.
But we always like to salute these up-and-coming newcomers to show business, like Hung and Strung. Good friends.
We come over here now, sir. We have a gentleman from Emerson College who has to... He is a pledge, I gather, at some fraternity. And he has to say something, or he will be in all kinds of trouble. As I understand it, use that stand-up mic. We'll get second now.
Use mic number 7 over there.
Please. And as I understand it, he has to say something on this program and on the air, or he'll be in trouble. As I understand it, he's Callous Head number 5. Is that true?
That's correct, sir.
All right. Now, Callous Head, if you go right ahead. And
that's your real name or a nickname?
Well, that's a nickname,
that's
sir.
A nickname.
Your real name is what?
Elliot Cole.
Elliot Cole?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go back to Callous Head. No, I'm only kidding. No, go ahead, Elliot. Go ahead, read the thing.
Attention at Emerson. This is Callous Head number 5, Elliot Cole, reporting according to duty in a rasping voice to the pledge masters and brothers of Rho Delta Omega fraternity at Emerson College in Boston. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and good luck to you in your happy college life.
Who wrote your script? Robert E. Sherwood?
That was a beautiful... Nicely done, too. What are you majoring in over there, Emerson? Hollering? Dramatic?
Wonderful. You don't have to stir us.
Oh, no. I mean, it's your honor is plenty.
We're just the two friendly valley boys.
You're
going to
go leave us now after we give you 50,000 free watts?
Yes, sir. I have to get back to the boys at the fraternity.
Part of...
Yeah. I bet they do.
They have a word for you, too.
Okay, Elliot. Thank you. Yeah, good luck.
Good, and congratulations. Now we turn from comedy
Toussaint's commercial.
Well, that's kind of funny, too.
That's one here, isn't it?
That's one, yeah.
Why don't I read this one?
That is the one.
Just a moment. Am I to understand that we have but one?
No, I think we have another one. Yeah, we have another one.
All right.
Kirkland coming along.
Kirkland.
I haven't met that sponsor.
He'll meet you if you mispronounce his name. Believe me, he'll be up to see you. Well, anyway, friends, I was getting around to talking about the quality of a fine California wine. And it lies not only in its body and bouquet, but in its flavor appeal as well, which you probably never thought of in the Puffle Buffle world of ours. And the very first time you taste Supreme California wine, you'll agree with the thousands of thrifty New Englanders who say that Supreme wine is unsurpassed in quality and in flavor. Isn't that true?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, your own taste will tell you Supreme wine is truly fine California wine.
Truly fine California wine, folks.
Am I right in that?
You're right.
The full rich flavor of Supreme wine adds to the warmth and hospitality of all your entertaining. Make your
entertaining casual.
Yet with
extra gracious.
Choose from Supreme California Port.
Sherry.
Muscatel. White Port.
Pale.
Dry.
Sherry.
Or. It's okay. No matter which you may choose.
Friends, your radio probably is broken. You may be getting two stations here. If so, drop a line to two stations, WHDH Boston.
Actually, the repairman asked us to do that, friend. No matter which you may choose, you can be sure of the same true flavor, the full body, the delicate aroma of the wine preferred by thousands of thrifty New Englanders. A wine that represents the skill and the experience of one family's devotion to the fine art of winemaking for over a generation.
I think that devotion of that family is one of the most beautiful things that I've come across as yet. It brings a tear to my eye when I think of the devotion of that Supreme family.
It's America to me.
It's as American as the hot dog and apple pie and ice cream. Baseball.
Today's script by Professor Sturdley. The next time you buy wine, friends, buy wine made by people who know wine. Buy Supreme California wine. Your own taste will tell you it's a truly fine California wine.
Now, at the organ and piano, Ken and Bill with their version of the Song of India. Thanks, Tommy. Dorothy. Thank you. of India by Ken and Bill.
Pretty tune, boys.
Hi.
If I ever heard one.
That's
I
good.
I've always enjoyed. Where is Vladimir Sturdley?
He hasn't arrived yet. He said he would try to make it if he could, but he wasn't here for rehearsal.
A lot of nice reaction about his musical saw playing.
We've had some good comment on that.
I had a nice card in the mail about it.
Oh, you did?
Well, we played, as you remember yesterday, a duet.
Yes.
Tennessee Waltz.
I remember that, and the melodeon blew up, as usual.
As usual, it's costing me $8.50 to have it fixed by the Bendix man.
Uh-huh. The Bendix man fixes that?
Well, it's a spin dryer, too, you know.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, of course.
Well, he may be in a little bit later, but
who?
Ray, the Vladimir.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But Ray and I thought that we might do our own version. The Bob and Ray Workshop players might do their version of Streetcar Named Leachmere today.
In beautiful Technicolor?
It's in gorgeous black and white.
Oh, I see.
Actually, we didn't have the money to put out the Technicolor.
All right. Well, why don't you boys get about it? And I'll go over here and practice
all right.
The
mask. Is it
the cast all here?
Yeah, they're all here.
A Streetcar Named Leachmere. Produced by Bob and Ray. Written by Bob and Ray.
Costumes by Bob and Ray.
Speakers by Bob and Ray. The screenplay by Bob and Ray.
The scene
by Bob and Ray.
Oh, this is the beginning.
Oh.
The scene, 2 a.m., Leachmere Station, a suburb of London. That's to keep the MTA away from
me. I see. All right.
To 2 a.m., Leachmere Station, just outside Piccadilly in London. Two men stand in the shadows as a thick pea soup fog falls.
Or drifts in.
Drifts in.
That's what we usually say in these productions.
The taller and uglier of the two men speak.
I see where nobody's going to speak up. Go on with the introduction.
You see.
What are you doing here?
I think, Governor, I didn't expect to find you here.
Oh, from Brooklyn, eh? Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm here looking for the Royal Gems.
You're in the wrong place. You won't find no Royal Gems here. This is Leachmere, boy. And I'm boarding a streetcar by that very same name to give this play a title.
Well, maybe we'll run into each other again sometime. Tally-ho.
So long, Governor.
A few hours later, the streetcar pulls up at a small residential house. And we see the two men get out. Or the one man get out who got on.
Actually, the whole thing pulled up with a jerk and you got off, Bob, as I remember.
I say this here's a strange residential type neighborhood.
Don't believe
I've ever been here before.
Looks rather eerie to me, but we're here to get that trophy for Hudson High. We'll get it.
Let's go over and knock on this door. It seems the most logical way of seeing if anyone's home.
Say what big knuckles you have.
It's just that the house is hollow, that's all. No one seems to be coming to the door.
Well, let's force our way in.
All right, here, I'll push through the door.
There we are.
Now we're in.
Wait a minute, sound man.
Yeah?
Eddie, we were breaking down the door. Could you get something more?
Well,
effectual?
I ripped the face of pipe, but that's all I had for the sound.
I know, but it wasn't very quick thinking on your part.
Well, was that better? That was a drum roll. I mean, I usually
that's
use that.
That's a little bit closer. Let's
I
go back to...
I usually use that for somebody having their epaulets torn off.
Yeah.
It's for military production.
Well, we'll use it for breaking the door down, all right? Let's go back to line 17, shall we?
Okay.
I don't believe I've ever seen this out there before.
Wrap up the door.
I heard that man on Phil Harris's record of The Thing, I believe, some time ago.
Was that better?
Yes, that was much better.
Okay.
Nobody seems to be coming to the door, so we'd better break it down.
Is that better?
Eddie?
Yes?
The effect you had first was all right, you know.
Well, that's for the wrapping on the door. I mean...
The one the ripping the epaulets off is good.
That one?
Use that one.
Okay.
I don't believe anybody's home, Governor.
Okay. Ready now?
Go ahead, yeah.
You're pushing down the door?
Yes. That isn't the one I meant.
Well,
I don't believe we can continue with this. without...
I got a few other sound effects.
What sound effects have you got with you today?
A feather drop on a marshmallow.
Well, we didn't plan to use that in this particular scene.
Oh.
That comes in the big finale production number.
I got a stampede sound effect ready to roll.
Well, let's hear that. That sound like a door being broken down?
Well, if you use your imagination, you could say that all these here bowls are going to knock a door down.
Uh-huh.
And that way it's set a scene, but then it becomes Western, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not much at ideas.
No, I can see.
I mean, I'm a sound effect man primarily.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll forget all about the play.
Well, I'd rather you wouldn't do that. I mean, I feel as though it was my fault.
Well, it's not really your fault. We did want to do it. I mean,
yeah,
we were kind of counting on doing this thing, you see.
Right,
we had everybody listening. We called Mother up, and she was supposed to listen.
Is there anything else for me?
No, I think you just kind of fallen down the job, and we may have to get somebody else.
I didn't want you to think that at all.
Well, it's all right. I mean, we don't bear any hard feelings toward you.
No, it's okay. Forget it, fellas.
Well, we won't forget it, but, I mean, try and do better in your next job, will you?
I guess radio isn't for me anyway. I think I'll go back to my first love.
What was it?
Bullfighting.
Well, good luck in anything you do anyway.
Okay. And I mean, I think I've made a mistake.
You certainly have here, because,
yeah, because
you
I'm
have
not,
ruined the entire idea of the play.
I'm not cut out for the work.
See, we spent long hours, burnt the candle at both ends writing this thing.
I feel like a chump.
And then we come in here, and what do you give it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I know, it's my own fault. Actually, I haven't been paying much attention.
No, you haven't. If I asked you what we had said in the last 20 minutes, I don't think you could tell me.
No, I couldn't, because I wasn't listening.
I could tell what you were.
Well, come on. You fellows treated me aces. Believe me.
Well, you can pick your pay up. Turn in your equipment, too, on the way
no,
out.
No, I wouldn't feel right taking any of your money.
Oh, no. We owe you the money.
No,
too.
I wouldn't take it.
Well,
take it, sir.
No, don't.
Oh, okay.
Don't give it to him. He doesn't want it.
You owe me 15 more cents.
Well, let's call it square, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Jim, thank you both. You've been swell.
It's all right, and write to us when you find work, eh? Where'd you get the pretty handkerchief, young lady?
Mommy gave it to me. Isn't it sweet, Daddy?
Mm-hmm. Where'd she buy it?
Oh, she didn't buy it. Mommy's smart. She got this lovely hanky right in a box of Kirkman granulated.
Say, Kirkman granulated is a bargain.
That's right. Every time Mommy buys Kirkman granulated, we get a three-flower handkerchief, too.
Ladies, have you taken advantage of this big wash day bargain? Modern Kirkman granulated brings a dazzling new whiteness and brightness to everything you wash. And Kirkman granulated gets clothes clean faster, really clean, thanks to Kirkman granulated suds booster action. You'll find those thick, rich Kirkman granulated suds are ideal for washing machines, tub, and dishpan. So kind to hands, too. Buy Kirkman granulated with the handkerchief pictured on the front of the box. It's your best wash day buy.
There we are. And now I see that Vladimir has arrived in the studio.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing. Haven't we asked anything here today, Ray?
Well, could you ad-lib something on your violin? It's tuned up.
Yeah, I believe it is all in tune there. I wasn't too
it's
sure.
Ready to go. It's all set, yes, sir?
Well, I'll have to have a consultation with the music department because I can't just play anything. It might be restricted, you know.
Okay, do you want to talk with one of us, the musicians?
Yeah, you'll do all right, I guess. What would you suggest that they play?
How about playing over there by the window and then...
You can help me out. Yeah, well, I don't think I do that.
Okay. That's a pretty good
That would be a good one. Why don't you play that? Can't you hear you calling Caroline?
Go ahead, Vladdy. Can't you hear you calling Caroline?
May I ask what key you're playing this in? Not that it makes any difference. I play at the drop of a hat.
Wow.
Thank you.
piano solo there.
Go right on, Vladimir.
How does this end, do you know?
Just fine.
I should have brought the rosin, I believe, today. That didn't end up too good there.
Oh, actually, Vladimir, I am enthralled listening to you play that.
Does that ever make you turn that color when you're enthralled?
It is nicely done, I think.
Yeah, Roy, that I was playing at sight there. You know, I hadn't gone over the music before.
I think it's very cleverly.
I'll be back next week with some new music.
Oh, all right. Would you listen, say, the hit parade, get some ideas?
Yeah, there's I'm trying to learn on top of old Smokey there, but I haven't got it down yet.
Uh-huh. Well, when you get it, you can write back in.
That'd be a wonderful thing you can do. I tell you what I'm going to have in rehearsal over the weekend is La Vie en Rose.
Oh, beautiful. That.
And I'm trying to get a singer there. What was his name? The Frenchman?
Oh, George LeBeouf.
George LeBeouf. I want to get him here to sing with the star.
Oh, that would be a beautiful production. Actually, I think we'd need costumes for that part.
I think it could be done only on TV.
I think it's a TV production because it's bad enough.
Yeah. But now, The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by A. Carrington Lump and starring Marcia Van Allshout as Linda, Sherman L. Sturdley as David, Arthur Eugene is portrayed by Horace K. Winterhalter. Today, episode 24, book 71, chapter 825, entitled Bad News Arrives in River's Mouth.
Who's playing the part of Bad News?
Well, he doesn't actually get here today. His contract starts Monday.
Oh,
we just lead up to it.
Refer to him
yeah.
Today?
Late afternoon as Linda and David sit in their small house talking over the arrival of Bad News in River's Mouth.
David, I hear what Bad News is coming back today.
We...
Odell, Bad News.
Odell, Bad News. We haven't seen Odell for many moons.
It's been just ever so long.
What has he been doing since we last saw him, do you know?
He had a cotton candy concession with some economy.
Well, it will be good to see him again. I only hope he brings us some good news.
I hope he brings us some of that marvelous cotton candy.
Well, folks, that's a little like cotton candy.
Uncle Eugene, where do you ever get cotton candy?
Pick it up from a fellow down the road. He had a big box of it. He was talking.
It wouldn't be Odell Bad News.
Didn't ask him if they...
It must be.
It must be. Who else would be selling cotton candy in River's Mouth at this time of year?
There's no carnival, no county fair.
I always get the carnival urge this time of year.
Oh, the old smell of the canvas, eh?
That's right. I long to get under the big top.
Yeah.
Were you ever with a carnival, Uncle Eugene?
No.
Weren't you ever with these artists, the circus?
No, I never was. I always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I always get the old urge to go back to the carnival this time of year.
Uncle Eugene.
How can you go back, Uncle Eugene, if you've never been?
Yes. Good question, David.
I believe you've got me stumped there. And I wouldn't want to answer things you might discriminate.
Don't go out in the kitchen with those fusty shoes. It's just wax.
I won't.
All right.
That would be bird there.
Oh, ever, yes.
Well, so Odell Bad News is coming to River's Mouth. What good news will Bad News bring to David and Linda? Be sure and listen Monday when we hear Linda say...
It's him, he's here. It's Odell Bad News.
That's Monday in the next exciting episode in the life and love of Linda Lovely.
About it today, friends. I guess we better wrap this thing up and run for it now that we have a few moments. I want you all to write if you get work and hang by your thumb.
Tomorrow, incidentally, is going to be Boys' Club Day here. We expect to have a rousing good time.
Write if you get work, everyone. You'll agree it's milder, much milder.